The podcast on Haunted Hill will contain spoilers and swearing.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Bring some of this back home. Be one of us.
I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the podcast on Haunted Hill. I am Gav Chucky Steele.
And I'm Dan Bone.
We're into 11, number 11 now, Dan. That's cool, isn't it?
Episode 11, legs 11.
I'm hoping that I'm not going to get attacked by any killer bees today.
I'm sorry, but I hope you do in a way, because that was one of the most entertaining things I've seen in quite some time.
I've just still editing that episode, but I have heard that bit, and I screamed loudly a few times, very femininely, like.
Yeah, it's quite funny watching you run around trying to find your shirt to put back on while screaming, and just seeing this bee coming at the camera.
It would have been a lot better if we had actually done, like, a killer bee movie.
Oh, imagine that. That'd be amazing.
You know... I'm not saying a bee movie. Yes, a swarm or something like that. This is perfect. Yeah. That'd have been so fucking great, but you know. Or when we're talking about it, it came into the camera, onto the microphone. That'd have been good.
It's been too weird though.
How have you been?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the sun. It's been really warm the last week or so.
Are you still enjoying the football?
Yeah, the World Cup. Yeah, it's good. I'm not really into football. I think the same as you, Gav, really. I'm not really into football, but when the World Cup or the Euro comes on, I'm really really up for it, really. Always like watching a bit of international football.
I've been watching quite a few games, quite enjoying it actually.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite surprising some of the good teams are getting knocked out and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Alright, well, we won't discuss football. I did see the other day someone saying that they're mad for it, and they put a picture up of like a zombie football match where there's like a head for a football with a foot on top of it, and that's the poster.
I'm surprised there haven't been any soccer or football related.
Well, you got Shaolin soccer. Obviously, that's not horror. That was quite amusing, but no, nothing really.
They're usually about thugs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Beat the shit to each other. And that's about
so a zombie soccer match might be quite amusing, actually.
That's quite a good idea, actually. Like you say, using the head.
Should we steal the idea and make a little short film?
Yeah, definitely. Let's do it.
Get out before them.
quickly.
What films have you been watching?
I've only watched a few because it's been a short time since we recorded, but I watched that Apollo 18 that we mentioned.
What did you think? You into it? Are you into it?
Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah.
Sorry, there was a delay then. It was all right. To be honest with you, I'm a bit sick of these sort of, what do you call them? Is it like CCTV found footage movies now?
Yeah.
It was interesting to see something different, like set in space, but there was a couple of scary bits, but I wasn't that bothered about it, really.
Yeah, it's not a very good one. I did say that to you. I was disappointed by Willow Creek. I think I mentioned that but last episode.
Is that the one by the guy from the Police Academy?
I really want to make a short film, which is found footage, and just give it a go, just to try that sort of genre out, I think, and I'm going to give it a go. So I'm going to pick up again Blair Witch, because I haven't seen that for years, and I wouldn't mind checking it out again, see how that holds up.
Yeah, I've got it on DVD, and I watched it not long ago, actually.
Any good?
Still pretty good. Yeah, you know, I mean, the problem is it's a one-shot deal, really. Once you've seen it, that's kind of it, but
it's worth
revisiting now and again.
Well, with the Paranormal Activity ones, because there's a few of them now, you can kind of go back if you've only seen them once. You can kind of go back and imagine and watch them and kind of be frightened by it, or slightly on the edge of your seat with some scares, because you might not remember every scare, because there's quite a lot, there's been like three or four films, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the part five is quite good. Do check that out if you get a chance.
I mean, I think the best film I've seen this week is... I watched another one, actually, called Attack of the Werewolves. It's a Spanish comedy
I've
horror.
Seen it. Very good. I really enjoy that movie.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, I really like it. Yeah.
That was like a cross between sort of Dog Soldiers, Shaun of the Dead, that kind of thing.
The novelist that goes back to his town.
Really, quite funny, actually. Quite amusing. But the best film I've seen is a film called In Fear.
Yeah. So, oh, I haven't seen it yet, the British one.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, really, really good, actually. It's got, like, elements of, like, what's that one where they go and it's got Michael Fassbender in it and they go into, like, Lake Eden, is it?
Eden Lake.
Yeah, Eden Lake. It's got elements of that kind of thing in it, and it's just this really... You don't know what the hell's going on, and the way the plot slowly reveals itself. I really liked it. There's only two, maybe three actors in it, actually, all together, and it's just really a great film. Really enjoyed it. It had me on the edge of my seat all the way through it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, definitely check that one out, Gav.
Really, I wanted to. Good. I kept forgetting the name of it, and then I occasionally see it. Someone mentions it on the internet somewhere, and I go, oh, yeah, and I'll try and remember it.
The guy in it has gone on to do well for himself. He's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the moment. He's one of the main characters in that every week. So he's doing all right for himself, the British guy in that.
Okay.
Or Scottish, I think he is. What about you? What have you been watching?
Nothing, really. I've been busy. Oh, I did watch the first episode of True Detective.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, I've heard lots about this.
I had the Blu-ray come through the post from Love Film. It's quite good. It's quite very dark tone, but just from, like, the opening credits, a lot of these TV shows, their opening credit sequences are really fucking good. This one's very, very good. And what you find with True Detective is that the cinematography is beautiful. There's huge landscape pieces where the camera just sits there with this massive wide shot. And it's quite nice because I've got a nice new big telly. But the camera just sits there, so you can really just sort of look around the screen and look at all the landscape and the prettiness of the countryside and stuff like that sort of thing. It's good. It's quite dark. It's about a woman is found... like tied up to a tree. That's the first thing they find. She's got antlers tied onto her head, and it's and kind of like witch symbols on her and stuff, and it's so you don't know what's going on. You've got Matthew McConaughey as a detective who doesn't sleep, he just dreams, and he's just a bit weird. And Woody Harrelson's kind of not his partner, he's kind of his boss, but he does go out with him and stuff, checking stuff out. Woody Harrelson's always trying to say to him, look, just tone it down and stop being so fucking weird and stuff.
So is it supernatural then? Has it got supernatural elements in it?
I've only seen the first episode. I can't really tell any more of it yet because I don't know. But there's definitely something going on with witchcraft or some sort of cult or something, but I don't know. It's quite good. It's being told in flashbacks, but then cutting back to nowadays with, like, Matthew McConaughey sitting at a desk being interviewed by some policemen about what happened, then cutting back to him and stuff. So I don't know. I'll let you know as I carry on watching how it goes. But it's intriguing.
Brad Pitt's in the next one, isn't he, in the next series?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah, if he's something to do with it. I'm pretty sure somebody said he was in it, somebody that I was chatting to the other day.
But, yeah, it seems okay. Yeah, I can't rave about it yet because it's like a huge story, as these TV shows are. They're just like 10 episode stories, aren't they? So I'm just in the very introduction to it.
Yeah,
I do like finding a good TV show to watch nowadays.
Yeah, it's nice to immerse yourself for 24 hours.
Well, what it is now is with films and TV, films are the case of where they still have to be very... safe with their money, you know, executives and things, so they're only sort of making stuff that they can have as a sure bet, where these TV shows, they're taking more risks because they can a bit more, but the production values keep going up and up, and the cost of production of these TV shows, but they can get away with making risk, and they can show more gore and stuff on telly, which is so bizarre, like Walking Dead and stuff, compared to some films will get, you know, cut.
But a lot of stuff on HBO is crazy. Like, I was talking to somebody about Spartacus, the first Spartacus show that was on a few years back with the guy, the Welsh guy in it, that died. That was so brutal. There was people chopping off dicks, heads. There was sodomy, sex, gore, blood, violence. It was just... I was like, fucking hell, this is just a TV show, you know? I haven't seen any Game of Thrones, but I hear that's really, really violent as well.
Yeah, I've not seen any Game of Thrones. I'm not actually... I don't seem very interested in it. I don't know. There's some things I'm not interested in. Detective stuff I'm quite into. So,
yeah.
Dexter, this True Detective, I'm sure I'll be into. But I don't know. Some sort of fantasy stuff, I don't know. It's not really my cup of tea. Yeah. Even though I keep getting told to watch it. Yeah, I will. All right, should we jump into the show? What are we talking about today, dude?
What are we talking about today, Gav?
Well, I wanted to rock the French movies, which we did. We were going to do a few episodes back. We never did. So today, bonjour, je m'appelle Mr. Gav Chucky Steele. Monsieur, Mr. Gav, no, Monsieur, Mr. Gav Chucky Steele.
I don't speak French, mate. I did German at school.
Yeah, ich spiele Fußball.
Guten Tag, mein Name ist Dan.
Was ist dein Name? Mein Name ist Gav. Stop it. What are we doing? Right, we're talking French movies. We're chatting about La Horde, and we're also chatting about Inside. Yeah. Jesus Christ, I watched that last night. We're getting to it, but my wife is 1 week due to give birth, and fuck me, that was a movie I probably shouldn't have been watching last night, because God, I was cringing. But anyway, we'll get into that when we get to the end of that discussion. that's what we're checking out. World of the Strange. We're looking at we're going to look at some video footage. Again, we can put this video footage up on the Facebook page when this episode airs. But we'll get into that. It's of a spooky hotel incident. But we will talk about it as we watch the video and dissect it. Music. What did you say for music? Oh, I know what you said.
Yeah, that song. I don't know the name of the artist, to be honest with you, but the main song from 28 Days Later.
I tell you, you know what? 28 Days Later, the soundtrack. I was in HMV one day, and the soundtrack was there on vinyl for £3 or £4. It was really bizarre, and I was like, okay. Because you don't normally get, in HMV, there used to be like a few records and you wouldn't really get soundtracks. And then it's just like 28 Days Later soundtrack, okay. And it's a pretty good soundtrack. So, no problem. We're going to play some music from 28 Days Later, actually. Ask Jasmine, I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I'll try and get something out of her. I don't want to make any promises because I've still got record for the last show, her segment. It is quite hard. Being the summertime, I don't really want her sitting inside watching films when it's such beautiful weather outside.
Of course.
So it's quite hard to get her to do that. I'd rather she's like being active and being the young child she is. So.
But it is all right for us to sit inside and watch films.
Yeah, we don't mind being old and fat, so it's okay. We've seen the sunshine many times. They're kids, they should be doing that, you know. Yeah, right, fuck it. Let's get into this shit, man. Let's start talking about the Horde. So see you back in a little moment.
The podcast which you're about to listen to is an account of the viewing experiences which befell two Scottish men. It is all the more tragic in that they were young and enthusiastic. But had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, nor would they have wished to have watched as much of the mad and macabre movies they did. For them, a friendship and shared interest in horror movies became a nightmare. The events of their viewing were to lead to the discovery of one of the most bizarre podcasts in the annals of podcast history. The Podcast Under the Stairs. The Podcast Under the Stairs can be found at podcastunderthestairs.wordpress.com or on iTunes.
Hello and welcome back. We are now talking about the French movie La Horde. La Horde from 2009. The synopsis for this is an end of the world battle between gangsters, cops and zombies. That's it.
That's all you need. An end of the world battle.
Yeah, you don't need any more than that. I saw this film originally at Fright Fest. So I saw it on a very big screen. And this would have been 2008 Fright Fest, because they said the filmmakers came out and they said, we've made this movie but it's not going to be released for another 8 months, so you please do not speak about this on the internet or anything whatsoever. So we were quite lucky to get this, and when I watched it I was very, very into it. I don't know, that's the trouble with film festivals, if you have a day of all shit movies, like some movies you might think are better than others. So I watched this and I was very much into it. Then I watched it again the other night and it didn't appeal to me as much as I did the first time. And I don't know if that's because I watched it on YouTube, so this is a YouTube film, but I didn't know if it was because I watched it and the only one I could find was dubbed version, and I watched the original French one with subtitles, but this was dubbed, and the dubbed one really kind of pulled me out of it a little bit. It's like,
yeah, the voices aren't great in the dubbed one, are they?
No. Have you seen both copies then? Like,
yeah, I originally watched it quite similarly, not at Fright Fest, but I originally watched it in French a few years back and thought, oh, that was really bloody good. And then, unfortunately, not to give away too much of my feelings on it, because it's still an alright movie, but unfortunately, watching it again on YouTube with the dubbed version, I was like, it's not as good as I remember.
Yeah. Oh, that was a huge helicopter going over.
Whoa. Police.
It's the ghetto bird.
Pigs. Flying pigs.
Yeah. This movie is very much, if you don't know this film, it's very much The Raid mixed with From Dusk Till Dawn premise, kind of.
Yeah, that's exactly my notes here, Gav.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's what it is. Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, so we get introduced to these gangsters, don't we? There's one big, hard-looking bastard. He looks like Jason Statham's dad, my notes say here.
Well, basically, a cop has been killed, and the brother of one of the cops, was it? I think it was a brother. Or it was just fellow police officers.
Yeah, it was just a fellow cop, I think.
Yeah, they're at the funeral, they're just like, right, well, let's just go get these fuckers, we know who did it, let's just go raid this tower block where these gangsters are holding it up, and they're holding one of the guys prisoner?
Yeah, they've got someone, a hostage, haven't they?
They've got a hostage, yeah. They go to this flat. There's like, what, four of them. One of them's female. They've all got balaclavas on. They do all, I'd say, casting in this movie, they all look like hard fuckers. A lot of them.
That's my notes here. Hard-looking bastards.
Yeah, all of them. All the guys. There's black fellas. There's white fellas, and one white female. But all of them do look hard as nails. Like, man, I wouldn't want to fucking mess with this guy.
They look like they could take on some zombies, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So I think casting was not bad. So they go to this building block, and they're sort of going in there, and I love the fact that they meet this guy, this super who works at
the janitor, isn't he?
Janitor, and he works at the hotel. He's like, hey, what's going on? And then they explain. So they're like, just go back to your room, and they go back up. So they're putting these explosives in on the door to blow the door where the criminals are. Then this fucking stupid cunt comes up out of nowhere and just starts, you need a big rifle like this, use this one. And they're like, shut up. And then one of them gets shot in the neck. It's like, oh, for God's sake. You know, it's like, yeah. I really wanted to see them blow the place, but that stupid fucking idiot comes along and fucking spoils it, doesn't he?
So, for our listeners, Gav's not a fan of the caretaker character.
No, it's quite amusing. Like, is he? Oh, he's not the same guy later on. No, because that's right. Because then he goes, lets them all know that he's there by shouting, come on! So they turn around and shoot him before he gets a chance to shoot his gun. Great, well done. Yeah, you did a great job on that. Well done. So they straight away lose their battle. They thought they had the upper hand on. They completely lose. One of the police would get shot. They all get pulled into the apartment and put guns to them and saying, who are you? Who are you? The criminals search one of the lady police officer, and she, they see that they've got badges. So they start saying to them, you know, who's outside? You must become other people. And they're saying, no. Well, no, they're not saying anything. Then, they shoot the guy they come to get, so then they say, okay, there's no one outside, we come by ourselves. But that's when they hear a big disturbance outside, and that's when it starts to kick off.
So we hear like a dog, don't we, first of all? We see like a dog get killed, or you hear it.
Oh, yeah, the dog runs off, and yeah.
And we know that the zombies, it doesn't really give a reason, I don't think. There's just, for some reason, there's some zombies coming at this tower block. And they're taking over. Is it Paris? Is that where they are?
Yeah, it's Paris. Well, you do get quite a few zombie films which don't actually give you any reason why it happens, and it's going on and it just ends, and you're like, I knew nothing about that. But then again, sometimes you don't need to. You can just jump into it, you know.
I like to think this film follows on directly from 28 Weeks Later, because at the end of that, you see them in Paris, don't you?
I never thought of that, but I suppose you could do that.
Yeah,
it could be
not
a spin-off, but you could look at it like that, I suppose.
Yeah.
The first zombie that attacks them is actually the guy with the mask over his head, who was
baghead.
So this must be a airborne virus, which only affects people recently dead.
Yeah, because no one's really been bitten, have they?
So this guy, it has to be airborne. Yeah,
it's like The Walking Dead, maybe. As soon as you die, you reanimate.
So the guy that they shoot all of a sudden comes back. He reminded me of, like, the Berserker character who's the kamikaze guy in Lord of the Rings, in the second Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah, okay.
He runs along with the thing to blow up the castle bit. Yeah, he's just like, he was just ferocious though, wasn't he? Because he just seemed like a really big guy, growling and everything. You couldn't see his face because of the mask, so it kind of made it even more intimidating. Zombies are intimidating anyway. Muscly zombies with masks, very intimidating.
Yeah, you just can't see his face, because normally you'd see their face, like with all the makeup on. This is obviously a cheaper way to do it, and it's like you say, it's quite effective, actually.
I've got a problem with this film. The editing sequences on the fight, are really bad. It's really, really fast cuts, but they've sped little parts of it up here and there. So when someone punches someone, it's sped up a little bit. Then, I don't know, I really, really didn't like the editing. And I didn't notice this before, but yeah, it was really, it made it feel like almost like a comic book. They might have been going for this sort of style, but I wasn't digging it. So they don't know what to do. They don't know that this guy's a zombie, so they're just fucking punching people, aren't they, and stabbing them, and they just don't know how to attack these things, which they don't realise are zombies. So yeah, punching, yeah, stabbing, fruit, yeah. And one guy's just fucking really going for it, isn't he? He gets trapped outside. He's really going for it. Anyway, let's stay on track, actually. So they eventually kill this one guy who's come back to life, and then they're like, "What the fuck's going on?" But then they start hearing loads of growling stuff outside the door, and it's just zombies coming into the block of flats, really.
So they decide, shit, we are fucked here, we're going to need to make a truce.
Well, yeah, they decide that they have to get together. They realise this, they go outside and look on the balcony, and they see all of Paris with flames going on, and bits, things blowing up, and they can see loads of people storming the place, which are not regular folk. I think they're realising, obviously, there's something wrong with them. No, at no time is zombies or undeads mentioned. They just get on with it, don't they, really?
Yeah, again, I don't mind that when films do that.
No. Well, yeah. If you're going to be generally, more than likely, because it is zombie genre, so it's very popular, but more likely you could be a horror fan. And anyway, if you're not a horror fan and you're watching a zombie movie because it's a zombie thing, you know what zombies are, so you can't get away with that, I think. But yeah, it's quite funny that they just are out on this balcony and they get this real sense of fear and realise that they're going to have to work together. So they both say, right, you need to, the kind of the bosses of both sides are like, right, you need to put a leash on your team. And they both say it to each other, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So they decide, okay, we need to do this. But what's their plan? Have they got a plan?
Well, they go and they grab a shitload of guns and they all do a shitload of coke as well, just to get themselves fired up, don't they? Which I thought was quite a funny moment. All the cops doing some coke with them as well. And they just start making their way down the stairs, really.
Oh, I tell you what, there's one guy who's a policeman where he's been shot. He's on the floor. He's telling them all what's going on. Oh, they could bite you and they know all this sort of stuff. And he's sort of giving them lots of explanations. And I was thinking, how the fuck does he know any of this stuff? Yeah.
That's a fair point, actually. How did he know that?
I don't know. He all of a sudden just starts telling them this stuff. So, what? Where did you get this knowledge from? You just looking on your phone. You know?
That's weird.
I
quite like the Kung Fu Cop girl.
Kung Fu Cop girl, yeah. It's not too bad.
She's, like, fighting people, stabbing them, hitting them with bridges.
So this movie is kind of like The Raid mixed with Die Hard at this point with zombies. It's just trying to escape this building, working together as a team. It's very From Dusk Till Dawn, but that does it so much better from Dusk Till Dawn, because they really spend the time getting you into a film which is not the film you're going to all of a sudden flip. And that's done very, very well. This is just really kind of straight into it after you know that there's bad guys and good guys. There's an old fella that turns up that helps them, has a big submachine gun.
Is he the one who's got the giant axe as well?
Yeah, well, that's it. They go out. This was a really nice scene, actually. They go out into the corridor, and he's just got an axe, and he's just chopping away at someone. But you only see silhouette. You only see the silhouettes of him. Then just the axe turning, and he turns and looks at them, and it's still in silhouette. And at that point, he's quite intimidating, and they don't know who it is. But he doesn't say, like, oh, don't worry, you don't need to shoot me just yet. He's just still standing there walking towards them. They've got loads of fucking guns on him. God, dude, explain who you are. What are you doing, definitely. You know?
Don't walk towards a load of people with guns with an axe man coming.
Then he's just a bit of a weirdo, really, isn't he? Why has he got that submachine gun, that huge cannon?
Yeah, it's like an old sort of wartime thing, isn't it?
Well, it's almost like a minigun. It's fucking mental. So he's got that, and he kind of joins up with them. We're kind of skipping through this quite quickly. There isn't a massive lot to really speak of this movie. The old guy gets high on cocaine. There's a lot of cocaine taking it, and that's quite funny. He takes the coke, goes, "Come on!" and goes running out after them.
Yeah, my notes say they take more coke. The old man loves it.
Yeah, that's Fright Fest. That got a load of laughs. Everybody laughed.
It's quite a disturbing scene where they torture a zombie girl for a little bit.
No, that really is.
It's kind of like about slavery, isn't it? That bit really. There's elements of slavery and stuff in it.
It was really weird because it's a woman who's a zombie and they're just teasing her, and you almost felt sorry for the zombie. It's almost like, I don't know. I can't really explain what sort of thing it is, but it was just, it was really horrible to sort of watch, even as a zombie.
He was even looking at her tits at one point.
Yeah, the old guy rips open her shirt off, she's dead, and he's like, "Hey, nice tits," and all stuff. Like, it's just a little bit weird. And if they'd have walked out and left that guy there, he would have fully been banging that zombie.
Oh, gross.
Do you think I'd hope he'd wear a Jimmy hat, though, if he's going to bang a dead zombie.
Well, you'd definitely catch zombieitis, wouldn't you?
What do you reckon you'd do? Your knobs start to turn zombies.
I mean,
first.
Zombies can pass on their thing through biting, and sometimes it's airborne. Do you think it's sexually transmitted?
What if he had bum sex with her?
I think he'd be all right then.
Yeah?
Yeah. One at the bum, then I'm done. Sorry.
So they look at the boobs,
You managed to talk about that whole scene without saying three little words then.
Old man cock. If there is ever a tagline for this podcast, it's old man cock. I love the fact that we're really jumping ahead of this movie now, but I love the fact that they get stuck at one point and they're trying to get out of a door and they're stuck in a corridor, and the old guy's got the submachine gun and he's just shooting them all down, no problem. They're all making piles of zombies in the corridor. Then the guy throws him a grenade to throw at them, but he decides to, no, I'm going to put my machine gun down even though I've got a ton of ammo left, and just hold him a grenade so they come and get me and I'll just let it go. Why didn't you just throw at them, then get the machine gun back on them? It was really defeatist. Like, you're really giving up now, aren't you, for no reason?
I don't know why he did that. That bit reminded me a bit of on Aliens. You know, when Vaquez and the other guy holds the grenade as the aliens approach them, and they just squeeze it and look at each other.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me a bit like that.
Yeah,
but like you say, there was no need.
No point.
Oh, well.
Then I don't know if you got any more to say, but I was just going to jump to right the last scene of the movie because I've got nothing more to speak of this film.
Not really. I mean, I quite like the gangster guy that's kind of like fighting them, and he's got his catchphrase, which he says, "I'm a damn Nigerian." It's like, "I won't take this, I'm a damn Nigerian," and he just like starts going at the zombies, really. quite like that. Yeah, not much else to say, really. Lots of blood and gore. What do you think of the gore?
It's quite good. There's quite a lot of CGI going on, but it was obviously prosthetics. And I definitely like the scene in the garage, which is almost quite iconic. The guy with the machete standing on the car with all the zombies around him.
Yeah, that was a really good end, actually, wasn't it?
Well, they did that for the poster, actually.
He wasn't a very sort of guy you'd see as a sort of hero in a film. The way he looked, like, he was slightly bigger than... Like, he wasn't muscly or anything, but he looked hard. But it was quite nice that he was the guy doing that. I quite like that. He was quite a good guy, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. But gore, it's not too bad.
I'm not a fan of the CGI blood splatters, to be honest with you.
I don't know, it's obviously when you're watching a film, you know it's a film, you know it's not real life, but some things do take you out of films more. Not for everybody, but it's only if you're probably a seasoned horror fan. I mean, if you see CGI blood splurting, it just doesn't keep it. I don't know, it's the sort of thing where it doesn't make a movie a cult movie or something. I might be wrong, I'm sure you can find examples, but like, that's why I find prosthetics so much better. They age movies,
surely it's cheaper as well.
Well, yeah, it's a lot easier. There's two ways of looking at it. It can be more awkward if you're going to splurt blood everywhere, then you've got to do more and more takes. It needs to be cleaned up and you have to change wardrobe if you get the takes wrong or whatever. But yeah, at the end of the day, it looks so much better doing it on camera. And it's not hard to do blood splurts with. It's easy. Get like a fence sprayer, a bottle, pump it up with a load of fake blood and just spray it. It's very easy to do. So I don't know.
But overall, good ending, I think.
Well, I still find her a bit of a bitch. For you get to the ending, you get the boss of the gang and you get the policewoman, the only two survivors. Right at the end of it, she shoots him in the head. Spoiler, she shoots him in the head. Like, well, you're a bit of a bitch, really, after what you've both gone through. I understand that he's killed a couple of your mates and stuff, but come on, in the grand scheme of things, fucking hell, you know.
Yeah.
Would you have let him go?
Well, she's a cop, I guess, at the end of the day, isn't she? So
she just shoots him back of the head.
Yeah, it's quite shit that she did it in the back of the head. To be honest with you, I wouldn't have let him go. I would have probably said, come on, the safety in numbers. He's pretty hard. He's pretty good with a gun. Let's do this.
Yeah, she just shoots him. So, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's the end of it. There's going to be fucking zombies everywhere. Just because it's daytime, that doesn't mean shit. You know?
And that's the end, isn't it? We hear all the zombies off camera sort of approaching.
Yeah, so, oh, nice one, love. You could have fucking kept him with you. Yeah, great, well done. So, I don't know. What do you think, zombies, if you just laid down on the floor,
yeah,
would a zombie, and you played dead, would a zombie just go, and just walk past?
I think if you kept still, they probably would. But, because it's only like movement and noise that they're attracted to, isn't it?
What if you... No, it wouldn't work. I was going to say, what if you put... I'm thinking like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator in mud. What if you put loads of blood all over you and just lie down? That probably still wouldn't work. That might attract them, maybe, like a shark.
Yeah, I mean, if you did, they did that in Shaun of the Dead, didn't they? They all pretended to be zombies and the zombies thought they were. I mean, it depends what kind of zombie movie it is, really. Like, some zombie movies, they seem to be able to just sniff out the humans. And other ones, like 28 Days Later, they're only attracted to sort of noise and movement. So I don't know, really. I'd try it. I'd try lying down.
So
most zombies are quite slow, so I just run away.
Yeah, well, that's why it's quite good, like the slow zombie. That's why when you have a load of them, that's the fear element. But so 28 Days Later zombies, they just literally, if they hear something, so the whole time they're just running around like, oh, there's something there, and it's just literally a coke can's falling off.
When they're not doing that, because he goes in that church at the beginning, and he thinks they're all dead bodies in there.
Yeah, but that's when he makes a noise. And he goes, hello! And then there's a noise. But
Father Ted attacks him.
Yeah. we'll have to look at those movies. I think maybe one day we have a little zombie-themed episode and we just discuss some of our favourite zombie films, because I'd love to speak about The Living Dead at Manchester Morgue.
Yeah, because
that's my favourite zombie film. That's a very, very, very good zombie film.
What do you think of the Horde Gav overall, then? What would you say?
If you've never seen it, first viewing, I think you'd probably enjoy it. I wouldn't buy it to own in my movie collection. I watched it again for the second time a few years later, the other night, and it didn't hold up to how it was on the day I saw it. And like I say, I don't know if it's because that particular day at Fright Fest, they had a load of shit movies and that came on, and it was the only one which was memorable, you know?
I think if you're going to watch it in French, definitely.
Oh, yeah, don't watch the dub version. You've got a sort of authentic Nigerian-type accents going on with the black fellas, but, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't actually tell the white people. I was trying to understand, like, well, what accents are they? Are they American? I wasn't
it's
really sure.
It's basically an American or an English guy doing a French-tinged accent, speaking in English, and it's just like, what's the point?
It wasn't, the dub version's pretty bad, and that was what's on YouTube, so I don't know if you can get an original. I'm sure you can. But yeah, it's all right. If you haven't seen it, I'd check it out. So I'm going to say it's a kind of wavy thumb recommend for me. It's if you're into zombies, you like horror, you're not seen it, you'll probably dig it, but don't expect multiple viewing.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a quick question about it. What do you think of the soundtrack?
I didn't even put any notes down. Oh, really? I didn't. I didn't even really notice it that much.
Yeah, I wondered if you would have noticed, because especially during the end credits, it sounded like Cyan Supercrew or some French hip-hop group like that. It's a pretty good soundtrack, I thought.
Oh, I didn't even really notice the soundtrack that much. I wasn't playing it extremely loudly. So I couldn't play it very loudly. I was upstairs. I wasn't downstairs in my surround sound. So, no, I didn't really notice that much, actually.
Yeah, not a bad soundtrack. Well, I'd say the same as you, really. I think I say this film is a one-shot deal. Watch it in French, and you're probably not going to have to bother watching it again, really, unless it's on a Friday night a few years down the line and you fancy watching some zombie violence. But
exactly.
It's all right. It's not a shit film by any stretch. And I definitely give it a thumbs up as being a film. It's definitely got a bit of a following, but I'm not going to bother with it again.
No, same as that. Okay, cool. Well, that was that movie, really. The next movie, though, is a little bit more of an interesting conversation, I think, which is the French movie Inside. We'll be back after this little break.
This is Jamie from Devour the Podcast. Do you enjoy horror commentary with straightforward honesty?
Oh, my God, fuck this movie. Fuck this movie so hard.
Oh, my goodness. You know, halfway through this movie, I was just like, let's get this thing going.
Fuck this movie. Humor and an obvious passion for the genre.
Like a good baby. I'll kick him in the face.
I like the cut of your jib. The ceiling, Grandma. Don't make me get out the broom. Oh, your tears are like wine. They used to call that the vapors. Cupcakes are kind of the Schindler's List of desserts. It's a pure good. I love the idea of up-and-coming horror directors taking on the found footage genre. I really, really like that idea.
And that's really the worst thing you can commit as far as filmmaking is concerned, is making a film that's just average.
Well, that doesn't really inspire any kind of discussion, whether it's, you know, to rip it apart or praise it. Then you should spend time with David and me.
And Bo.
As we discuss horror films from old classics.
Deep Red, Empire of the Ants, Lisa and the Devil, The Baby, The Toxic Avenger,
to new favorites.
Absentia, Cabin in the Woods, The Loved Ones, Shadow of Death, VHS, The Woman.
Check us out on iTunes or at devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. Devour the Podcast is a proud member of the Horrorphilia Podcasting Network.
Okay, so next up we're going to be talking about another French movie, keeping with our French theme. This is the movie Inside. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the French title. I think it's La Intérieure or something. It's 2007, and the synopsis is as follows. 4 months after the death of her husband, a woman on the brink of motherhood is tormented in her home by a strange woman who wants her unborn baby. There we go.
As I said to you, my wife is about to give birth. Well, her due date is a week's time. She's very heavily pregnant. So this movie, she's probably as pregnant as Vanessa Paradis' little sister, who stars as the main protagonist in this film. And probably as pregnant as her. So, yeah. I remember I saw this movie before, and there's a bit in it which made me cringe, and I knew that bit was coming up at some point, and it does come up, but we will get to it. Do you want to sort of run through what the movie, what happens?
Yeah,
stuff?
Well, I mean, we only really got two locations in this film. The first is sort of the backstory. We see a car crash. Well, first of all, we see a baby in a womb. It's quite good effects. You see the baby in the womb, and then suddenly there's like an impact, and the baby sort of bounces towards the screen, and you see that there's been a car crash. And our hero, Sarah, Vanessa Paradis' little sister, has been involved in this car crash. She's covered in blood. Her husband's next to her. He's dead. Then we cut to a hospital. We see that she's gone and checked, and the baby's all right. She's all smashed up. Her face is all bruised and cut, and she's taking medication. But they're like, yeah, your baby's all right. You know, you're lucky. You know, her mum comes and picks her up from the hospital.
Well, I'll just cut you there. She's sitting at the hospital saying that you're all right. Then that
creepy
nurse comes over and sits for her and stares at a baby. Hang on, she says that she's had four kids herself and tells this horrible story, but she's had four kids herself, but she's staring at the baby like, what is she getting broody again? It's like, you must have seen that before. But yeah, but she, whatever she says to her, Vanessa Paradis' little sister, what's her name? Oh, Sarah, isn't it?
Sarah, yeah.
So let's just go Sarah. Sarah says to her, twat. It's the only word she says to her. I was like, that's lovely.
Because the lady says, She starts smoking a cigarette, doesn't she, in the hospital, sat next to her.
Yeah.
Another nurse walks by and goes, you know you can't smoke in here.
She just looks at her. Yeah, then.
She looks at Sarah.
Then she says, Sarah says, twat.
Yeah, because she says to Sarah, God, everyone in here is an asshole. And Sarah just looks at her and goes, twat.
And just walks off. It's quite funny. She then gets taken back to her house. There's really, really nice camera work here. When she enters the house, do you remember the shot? It's a really beautiful shot. She's walking into the house. It's a lovely shot. You should check it out. It's a really nice cinematography. But straight away with this movie, you've got production value is quite nice. It's higher up than La Horde, I feel. It's very minimal cast, a very minimal crew. But this is first time two directors. So the producers really wanted to put the best experienced people around them for when making this movie. That's why you got some sort of real beautiful shots and stuff. But yeah, first time writing directors, and it's a duo.
They did a bloody good job as well.
Well, apparently they bounced off each other. Like, if one of them had an issue, the other one would just be straight away like, well, just do this. So it continued rolling the whole time, and they managed to do it very well. I don't know what they've gone on to do now, actually.
I had a look on IMDb. There's not a lot on there. There's a few things here and there, but nothing that stands out that I'd know of or anything that's very big.
And this movie was Dimension Extreme series, where Dimension, they did a few of these. But this was hanging off the new wave French horror with Martyrs,
Frontiers, Switchblade Romance,
yeah, La Horde Tension. There's a few of them, and it was really nice to have this time of the early 2000s going up to late 2000s. This is 2007. French horror coming out. I was really quite excited by it. You always find this with certain countries. All of a sudden, they start flowing out horror movies, and they have a succession of really good ones. Then it goes again. It's quite strange, like, the way that goes. The different places, like Spain's done it, Italy's done it. You had Japan,
and Korea's done it as well.
Yeah. It's quite funny how it does it. But this was rocking on the end of the new wave French horror scene.
Definitely. It's up there as well with the best of them.
She goes back to her house. What goes on then, Dan?
Well, we find out a little bit of a backstory just before she gets home. We find out that she's a reporter, like a photographer reporter, and she's planning on going to this big riot and taking pictures, and her boss is like, you know, you shouldn't really do that, you know, you're about to have a baby. I'll come around tomorrow at 6 a.m. and pick you up if you really want to be taken off for this work. And her mum's like, yeah, don't do it. She's like, no, it's my job. I need to take my mind off my dead husband, you know. So, and then she goes home, like you say. So what was this shot, Gav, you were saying? Sorry.
It's just a shot when she's been, they're letting her go into a house. And it's just a shot of her walking into a house. It's a very, really, very beautiful shot.
Oh, okay.
It's just when you see, sometimes you see things, it tells you production values a little better. Okay, for example, there's a part where she's walking along with that guy talking to him, and it's just panning. It's walking away. The camera's static, so it's all still. But it's just panning very, very slowly, low to the ground, slowly to the right, and it's just things like that. It's not just a instant static camera not moving on a tripod. It's still moving even though nothing's going on, and these people just walking away. It's just little things like that give a sense of more artistic value to it as well, I think, you know.
Cinematography is definitely really good on this.
Well, actually, a lot of the production is, I know we're not really turning that movie, I'm just going off on one about production, but it's worth mentioning, like, the score itself, it's rocking between synthetic synths and stuff. They're mixed with some sort of more other different sort of sounds, not orchestral, but close to it. But it's real basic, like, it's like John Carpenter in very basic notes, long notes, sustained notes and things, but it's so creepy at times, so creepy, but in a very modern way, which I think it gave it its lovely French tone, as in, like, this is a horror movie from the new side of 2000. We're not in 19 whatever anymore, you know. And I think it works really, really well. I'm very impressed with this movie. It has held up, and I know we're going to get to this towards the end, but this movie, there's that point later on where I'm actually got my hand over my eyes and I couldn't watch it. And that, afterwards, I thought, hang on, this is what horror movies used to do to me as a kid. Like, they don't do that to me anymore. So, because I thought, oh, no, I'm being a right pussy. I can't tell them on the podcast I was such a pussy. But it's like, well, you know what? I love the fact that horror movies made me do that. You know,
there's two scenes in this which we'll get, I'll mention them as we get to them, that made me do that as well. And yeah, fucking hell, it's very well done. But let's get into it. So
she's in her house. Yep.
She's moping about the house, obviously. She starts thinking about her dead husband.
And she's very heavily pregnant. We've got to mention this. And yeah. I don't know if any of you out there have the experience, or you understand, of a loved one or whatever who is heavily pregnant. And it becomes so awkward for them to do anything. Maneuvering around a house and doing stuff. If you just drop something on the floor, it's a fucking hassle to pick it up. And all this stuff. Because I'm living it right now the whole time with my missus. I'm sort of experiencing this. So straight away you can sort of relate to this. It does make things very hard. So if you're alone, and this is over Christmas Eve, was it?
Yeah, it's Christmas, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, if you're alone in the house, there's a dead husband bereaving over that as well, it's going to be, mentally and physically, you're going to be already exhausted.
Well, what I felt for Sarah, the character, was as well, was just that she was really fragile because she was just so heavily pregnant. I just felt like she needed to be wrapped up in cotton wool.
Yeah.
She has this crazy dream. She falls asleep. She's knitting in the rocking chair. She falls asleep. She wakes up coughing, doesn't she? She starts throwing up loads of milk. Then lies on the floor, and then a baby just bursts out of her mouth, and then she wakes up, and it was a horrible nightmare. I mean, that I forgot that had happened. This is the second time I've seen it, and I forgot that, and I thought, Jesus, I didn't remember that happening before.
I'm going to say, the only thing about that, it didn't shock me as it could do, because it was a CGI baby.
Yeah, that's true.
It is quite good, but if they could have done a prosthetic one, it could have been done. You know,
yeah, it could have.
But then again, it was quite stylishly. Anyway, could we do get these? This movie does have, like Dan said, where the car accident happens, you have a shot straight away of the interior, the interior of her body, and you see the baby. It is CGI, but it is actually very well done, and the baby reacts to certain things. And we cut back and forth to this through this
really
movie.
Well done, that.
Yeah, and the first time I watched it, it didn't creep me out. It just made me feel actually like quite sorry for the baby. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, so, I say, it adds to the fragility of the woman as well. You know, she's really fragile. The baby's inside her, and that's really fragile. And all the things that we're going to talk about in a minute start happening to her, and you're like, fuck.
This movie's only like 71 minutes or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's a very short film.
My God, it's a fucking roller coaster of a movie. It really
is. Thank God,
is.
I couldn't have taken any longer, to be honest with you. No, totally.
Okay, what happens? She's in the house. She's had the dream. What goes on?
Well, then there's a knock at the door. A doorbell goes, a knock at the door, and she looks through the spy hole, and she sees a shadow of somebody there. Now, you might be able to answer this for me, Gav, because this person starts talking to her and says, Sarah, let me in, Sarah. And she's like, no, my husband's upstairs. And she's like, no, he's not, he's dead. And then the person outside lights a cigarette, and we see her face really quickly. Is it the nurse from the hospital?
No. No, it's not. This scene, this is very much Drew Barrymore in the first Scream movie, in the house, and the phone call keeps ringing. It's very much that, but instead we're having a doorbell, and the person is actually there in your face. This is a funny bit, because this scene goes on for a little while, and she says, yeah, she reveals that she knows the person. I personally, obviously this is my own preference, would have put a score there and underneath some bit of music. I know it might be quite obvious just to have done that, a bit of like some real notes and stuff. But when she has that reveal, it doesn't come across impacting. But I don't know if that's because it's the second time I've seen that film. Did it to you? Was it an impact when she says, oh, it's like a revealing twist. Oh, you're actually dead. You know, it's that sort of thing. It's one of those...
Yeah, it didn't really, to be honest with you.
It doesn't, does it?
No.
Because it should do, because it should be the first time when this woman inside the house, all of a sudden, like, whoa, what the fuck? That should be really like, damn!
Yeah, that's true, actually. You know?
And I found that was quite strange. It doesn't have the shock impact. But then again, it doesn't need to for whatever comes up next. Fucking hell. Go on then, continue, Dan.
Well, then she goes into the living room, and the woman stood at the living room window, and she's banging on she smashes the glass, doesn't she? She punches the glass.
That silhouette, though, the silhouette of her standing in the garden, fucking horrible. Excellent.
Really creepy. She calls the police and she says, you know, there's a woman outside. She knows me. She knows things about me. Can you please come? She gets the camera out and she starts using the camera to sort of take the photos of this woman. Big flash going off. So I like it when they use cameras. It was a bit like, what was the crop? The alligator, you know, like you said, that bit in Alligator where...
Yeah, the reporter, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. And I like it when they do that in a film with cameras and stuff and flashes. And yeah, that worked really well, because then not only was she able to reveal the woman's face every time the flash went off, but she's also got some proof as well of of this. So she calls her boss and says, I need you to print these photos for me first thing tomorrow. Someone's been out, like, stalking me outside.
Why'd she say that if she's got her own dark room anyway?
She needs him to blow them up. She hasn't got the facilities to blow them up, she says. Cops turn up, don't they? Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Hello, cops.
And is this outside when they're talking to her?
Yeah.
Did you see the house number?
Was it 666?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think I noticed that. It's pretty cheesy, but fuck it. Yeah. It's all right.
It's really cheesy, but it was very, very, like, top left corner. It's there for a very small amount of time, 5-10 seconds. So.
Yeah. So she goes to bed, doesn't she? Well, she's... Oh,
well, the police investigate it. They look at the broken window, because this woman just out of nowhere punches the window, and this is probably double glazing. Well, I suppose it might not be, I guess. But she punched it, so that must have fucking hurt her hand. That's a full-on punch. And the police say, look, basically, we have a patrol that's going around the area. We're getting to knock in on you, see how you are through the course of the night. Don't worry, because obviously she's pregnant, so they've got a bit more, like, concerns for her as well. What goes on, Dan? She goes to bed, doesn't she?
Well, then she's, after the police leave, she's sort of lying on the sofa with her cat.
Yeah.
And we see this creepy... well, the camera pans really, really, really slowly. And you see this shape. And I started thinking, is that somebody behind her? Is it? I can't tell. And then as the camera panned away, you could just see a pale face in the doorway behind her.
It's a Michael Myers, Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween shot where he's behind her in the cupboard, and it's just the face. It's just, it appears, then it goes back again.
Yeah,
but it's
so,
a very, very
so
slow
creepy.
One. But I don't know, because I saw it. How did you watch it? On a laptop or on a telly? And I was watching it on that, and you could see the face there, not massively clearly, but you could see a greyish sort of face. Not white, not black. It's in between. A sort of greyish face. And then it very, very, very slowly pans. Hands back really, really slowly, and it stays there for a long time. But then you can actually see her move to the left and walk off, which I don't know if you're supposed to have seen that, or she's supposed to go completely into the blackness of it all. So what could you see?
I didn't spot that. To me, the face just gradually vanished.
Okay, I could see the whole face, yeah, really clearly coming across. I'll have to show you next time you're down. But so the woman is in the house. She got in there. We don't know how, because the policeman says, I'm going to lock you in. So it's quite nice. I like movies when the police turn up. You have this sense of safety, and they say that they're going to come back. So you're like, oh, great, okay, cool. The woman goes off, sniffs around at some fresh baby clothes, which made no sense at all. What are you going to smell for them? That they smell fresh of new clothes. It doesn't smell of a baby. Why are you smelling them?
So while she's doing this, Sarah's asleep on the bed, isn't she?
Yeah, and she's ripping stuff.
Creeping around the house.
She. Do you know what she reminds me of? A giallo witch.
Yeah, but there's something quite beautiful about her as well.
No. This is Beatrice Dale, who played... Betty Blue.
That's where I've seen her before. Jesus.
You would have seen that in the late 80s. You would have saw on Channel 4 some dodgy European movie where you're hoping to catch a flash of some boobs from a dodgy Channel 4 movie, and Betty Blue. Yeah. So I knew her from that straight away, because I've always remembered the name Beatrice Dale, probably from my youth, you know, watching these amateur skin flicks.
And then she goes in the bathroom.
The giallo witch I'm saying about, she's like got this corset on. She's all in black with flat, like on the wrist it flows, but then goes tight around the arms. But she's also wearing black leather gloves, like an Italian crime film or something. And the combination was so weird, but it worked really nice, quite nicely. But yeah, she comes across almost sexy like, but very deadly.
Definitely.
You'd think, well, how many pints would you say, Dan, she is?
She's probably a six-pinter, not even that.
Yeah, probably not, because you'd be like, you do look pretty sketchy and you do really scare me and I think you're going to bite my nuts. But
you're French.
But say me, say something in French to me. I'm going to kill you. Oh, amazing. Let's go.
Brilliant.
Here's 10p, ring your mum, tell her you're not coming home tonight.
Fantastic girl. What a charmer. So this witch, this woman, Betty Blue, the evil baddie that's got in the house, goes into the bathroom and starts rifling through loads of drugs. This woman's got lots of drugs for her injuries from the car crash and stuff. She picks up the biggest fucking pair of scissors I've ever seen. And she creeps back into the bedroom and she dips the scissors in like anti-something or other to make sure they're cleansed. Now, this is the scene that really hit home for me because I've got a massive phobia of belly buttons.
Dude, this is what I'm talking about. I have a massive phobia. Nobody can touch my belly button.
I'm exactly the same. This is a bit weird.
The girls, Jasmine and Daisy, all the time, Daisy used to always do it, put a finger in my belly button. I was, no, don't do it.
Yeah, Alex tries to do it. I hate it.
You can't touch it. No, I hate it.
I don't want anything to do with it. No. Nothing to do with it.
Good. This fist bump. You can't see it. Yeah, it's bang. Yeah, there you go. We're not in the same room, so it's a bit hard. Yeah, I hate it.
Tell us what happens, Gav.
Well, you know what's going on. She's getting a pair of really long, big clothing scissors for cutting up clothes. She starts cutting the clothes, and you're like, because you're seeing this scissors going up the clothes, you know what's happening. You're like, no, please don't try and cut the baby out. Please don't do that. And so at this point, I'm starting to go, oh, no, no. And I'm getting all cringeworthy. I'm tucking my legs up to my chest, putting my hands over my eyes, coming in my rocking chair with surround sound on, 42-inch screen in the pitch black. And no, 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 no.
She just very slowly stabs into the belly button with a scissor, doesn't she?
Oh, God. Oh.
We see the blood run down.
We cut to a shot of the baby inside. Go no, almost. He's quite animated. No, don't do that with his hands and just push it out and really shocked face, which makes it even more disturbing because it's only very quickly. Then it cuts all these liquids and fluids going everywhere. Oh, Dan, take it away, man. I can't do
it. Well, then at this point, Sarah wakes up obviously because she's had her belly button penetrated with a fucking giant scissors. So. She wakes up and starts screaming. I think the woman slices her face with the scissors and stabs her in the shoulder or something. And they have a bit of a fight and Sarah manages to run off and she locks herself in the bathroom. So this is where she spends pretty much the rest of the film, really, in this pristine, very bright white bathroom. I thought that was a really good idea because by the end of it, it's not bright and white.
It's dull and red.
Jesus Christ.
The guy from work turns up when Beatrice Dow's downstairs because she can't get into the bathroom. I don't know what her plan was, really. If she's just going to sit and wait, you may as well just carry on with your
So he turns up at 6 a.m. as promised, at which point this witch woman is downstairs. He mistakes her for Sarah's mum. He says, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, I didn't realise Sarah's mum was here. And she says, well, don't worry. Her mother knows when her daughter needs help. And she's really, really creepy. She asks him to have a drink with her, so they start having a couple of whiskies together. And he's sensing something weird from her. I think at one point he tries to come on to her a little bit, but she sort of walks off. And she's got a knife or a knitting needle or something. She's thinking about stabbing him, but then suddenly somebody else comes in the house, and it's Sarah's mum, Sarah's real mum.
I love it. It turns into like Piccadilly Circus. All of a sudden, loads of people coming in. So she's just a bit like, oh, fucking hell, great. Now what's going on? You know, on Christmas Eve, you know.
But the best thing is, like, the mum, like, realistically, she doesn't give a shit who needs one. She's like, my daughter, and she just runs upstairs.
Yeah, so the mum and dad turn up. It's a bit like Piccadilly Circus there, really. So she doesn't really know what to do. It's Christmas Eve and that, and this killer's in the house. So what goes on? The mum goes upstairs to look for, because she hears Sarah sort of crying out, doesn't she?
Yeah, Sarah's still locked in the bathroom.
Yeah, so she goes upstairs, and at this point, though, Sarah's trying to... I don't know if she knows people are there or not, really. She does listen out to see if she can hear people. Is that later on? I'm not sure.
No, she's listening, but it's not clear if she can hear it or if she's just, like, hearing to hear if the killer's outside the door.
Well, she just goes and gets a big needle. Her mum knocks at the door, she opens the door, and she just stabs her mum in the neck and kills her mum.
Terrible scene.
Dad hears this, he runs upstairs. Just as he's going upstairs, he gets basically fucking... a big needle, knitting needle it looks like, or no, it's a pair of scissors.
It's a scissors.
Through the back of the kneecap going out the front. Jesus, for a place to hit someone. Man.
Yeah, but then right in the bollocks straight after.
Yeah, then straight into the bollocks. Yep.
It's just
so fucking full on. Then he gets a pair of scissors in the face.
Yeah, because she stabs him a few times, drags him down the stairs, and then he's still alive, so she chose to suffocate him, but then she just thinks, fuck it, I'll shove the scissors through the pillow into his face.
Oh my god. So he kills her. Sarah locks herself back in the bathroom. Then you get this bit where Beatrice Dale's standing against the wall, and an edit sequence of her going insane, or just showing her insanity. It's really, really nicely done.
Yeah, I like that bit. I thought that was a really arty bit. I don't normally like that kind of thing, but they did it really well.
Then we got like baby shots again, and really disturbed baby. Like you can see he is disturbed inside the room and that. We still at this point don't have actually any motive of why this woman's trying to take the baby out of this other woman. It's just fucking a definite roller coaster, right? This is what's going to happen, and we're going to go a fucking 130 miles an hour.
She kills a cat as well, doesn't she?
Yeah.
The cat jumps up on her lap while she's sat outside the bathroom door, and Beatrice, is that what her name is? She just snaps the cat's neck and throws it at the side.
Yeah. Then we get to the halfway mark of the film. Actually, it's a little bit after the halfway mark, and the police show up. We've got three policemen and a perp, as they describe him, in the back of the car, locked up for some fucking shit reason. Nothing major at all.
He likes lighting fires or something, doesn't he?
I suppose that is quite a reason, isn't it? But anyway, two of them go check out the house, and they open the door, chat to the woman, and Beatrice Dale opens the door because the two policemen don't actually know what the woman really looks like facially, so they just chat away to the woman and they shut the door and walk off. But they don't, as they walk off, they chat about something else. The other policeman's in the car on the phone to his wife, and he kind of ignores his wife on the phone because he can see his colleagues are both standing there talking to each other and they've stopped, so he knows something's up. So they go back into the house and they open the door and they kind of just walk into the house and they go straight in there, basically saying like, they know what's up. They're saying, well, we know that the woman here is heavily pregnant, and another woman's been trying to harass her, and the woman has answered the door, is not heavily pregnant. So they straight away thinking, you're probably the woman that's harassing her. So it's not genius police work, but it's I'm glad that they did it, and they didn't realistic. Walk away. It's a very realistic scenario. So what happens, Dan?
Well, one thing we forgot to mention just before the cops turn up is that Sarah, there's a hole in the door now, and Sarah puts her arm out the hole in the door that she's made, and she tries to touch the handle, but she gets her hand stabbed to the wall by the scissors, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's kind of stuck there, which is just kind of full on. The police, one of the policemen goes upstairs, and as he's going upstairs, he sees the dead body, but I don't know why he wasn't so shocked. He must have blatantly seen the blood walking up the stairs, because I can see it before he sees a dead body, but it's not until he sees a dead body anyway. He just shouts down, arrest her. So the other one puts her onto her knees and he's getting the handcuffs out, and just how he's doing this, the other policeman discovers Sarah, and he starts trying to say, oh, I'm going to help you, I'm going to get the scissors out of your hands. He's trying to pull them out. At this point, the killer, who's just known as the woman, she's credited, she basically pulls out a knitting needle again. There's a lot of knitting needles in this.
Yeah.
And pulls out from her sleeve and just stabs the guy, the policeman, in the eye. And then stabs his other eye, making him blind, which is quite bad for what happens later on in the movie. He has another little scene where he pops back up again, which is fucking really full on. She goes up, and just as the other policeman's helping Sarah, his head gets blown in half.
Yeah, I forgot that as well, that happened, and that really took me by surprise, actually.
Man, fucking hell, it's a very full-on scene. At this point, the movie's just going for it. You know, since we've just been trying to get a baby out of a stomach and hitting you in the belly button with a needle, we're just fucking going for it. We're not letting go.
Yeah.
Oh, man, fucking hell.
So the other cop comes in now.
So the other cop comes in with the perp, doesn't he?
On a lead.
It's like, imagine a man has a dog, or a woman has a dog, not to be sexist, and you've got a lead between you both. You have this string, and so it's around their neck. Basically, this perp has this kind of a tie lead around his wrist or whatever, and he has to go with the policeman wherever he goes, and it could almost be comical, not the fact that it's just very intense, where the scene we're in. He goes rushing in because he's heard gunshots and stuff, but he gives the perp a machine gun.
Yeah, what is that weird gun he gives him?
It's like an AK-47.
Yeah.
And he gives him a machine gun. Why have you given the kid a machine gun? Then he goes upstairs and finds Sarah and gives Sarah a gun. He's just giving everybody guns.
Yeah, here you go. I've got all my guns. Everybody have one.
So, yeah, he gives this gun out. So he's giving guns to everybody, and he goes, I'll be right back, and goes for a look. So we left with Sarah in the bathroom, just kind of staying with her. And so you're led to believe that, obviously, they're not coming back, and it's going to be the killer coming around the corner. But we're luckily, actually, the police come back, which is actually quite a nice... It actually gives you a little bit of like, I can breathe for a moment, because I have just held my breath for like 5 minutes.
You know? The kids, the perpetrator's throwing up, isn't he? Because there's so much blood everywhere and there's dead bodies. And he's like, get me out, we need to get out of here, it's horrible.
Yeah, and there's blood everywhere at this point. There's blood all over the bathroom, blood all over the girl.
Then the lights go out.
Yeah, the lights go out. So they go to the fuse box, so they're trying to fix them. And the perp has the torch, and he's just looking all around him. And they hear something. Oh, I heard something. And they're looking around. Then they look and they notice like the flashlight's gone. Was it a flashlight?
Yeah, something's gone.
It's a flash something. They notice it's gone. So, oh shit, someone's in here. Is it? Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I know, it's the big gun, isn't it?
It's a gun. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because then suddenly the gun is pointed to the side of the cop's head.
Yep.
He gets taken out.
Yep.
What happens to the perpetrator then? Does he run back upstairs?
No, he gets fucking stabbed, doesn't he? It cuts back to Sarah, then it cuts back to him, and he's on the floor trying to find the keys.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Where are the keys? Where are you? Then he gets stabbed in the head. Straight in the head,
With the scissors, right in the middle of the forehead.
Yeah, so then she pulls him out, and he's there trying to stab her, waving his knife around in front of him, because he's probably been blinded from that. And it's so rough, because it goes back to that sort of primal thing of just safety. So he's just waving his finger around without actually having much mental capacity to think about the situation or anything, because he's just been stabbed in the fucking forehead.
Like a lobotomy, basically.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And it's just so much more, it just makes it even more harsh. Oh god, we're fucking back going up, down this roller coaster again. I want to be going up it again from the moment, you know. Sarah gets fucked up a bit more.
Sarah's on the bed having a little lie down with a gun at this point.
No, well, they end up having a big fight sequence, don't they?
Yeah, and because when Sarah's asleep, she's caressing her, the other woman, and she's... Sarah bites her tongue out, I think, does she?
I think he bites her lip, I'm not sure.
Yeah. And she's... there's blood everywhere again.
Fucking hell, yeah. It's... Yeah.
She beats the shit out of Sarah with a toaster.
Yeah, yeah, knocking her out. Missing the baby, but hitting everywhere else, basically. And she's on the floor. She goes to light a cigarette. Sarah gets a can of some aerosol, sprays it, brilliant. And it burns her face. I didn't like the CGI flames, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Brilliant.
And it looks
good. I love that.
Then, yeah, really, she runs off, burn. So then Sarah gets up and makes herself...
No, Sarah doesn't get up. Sarah, first of all, has to perform an emergency tracheotomy on herself.
Oh, God, yeah. How does she know to do that? I wouldn't have known to do that.
She stabs herself in the throat with a knitting needle or something, and there's blood pissing out of her neck, and she has to put gaffer tape around her neck, doesn't she?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she makes herself a weapon, and she's like a spear, and she's like some badass version of herself now.
Yeah,
it's just some quite iconic scenes you could easily make like posters out of, you know, with some of these shots. But then she goes and finds the woman, and she's all burnt and fucked up, and she's about to stab her, but she starts talking to her and saying, it's your fault I'm like this. But it's just like the whole time I'm writing down here in my notes, kill the bitch, just kill the bitch.
Yeah, because she says to Sarah, you've already killed me once, kill me again. And she reveals that she was the other person in the car crash.
Yeah, which is a little bit like, oh, this whole movie's just because you're both two pregnant women had a car crash. And it's like, okay. It's a strange, it's a weird motive, really, but...
She lost her baby, didn't she?
She lost her baby to the exact same thing, but Sarah managed to, well, for the time being, has a baby inside her. Oh, God, we're getting there, though, aren't we?
But then the cop who got stabbed in the eyes... He gets back up.
Oh, God, this is so harsh.
He fixes the fuse box without any eyes.
Somehow.
He starts freaking out.
Why did he fix the fuse box? Why does he need to see what's going on?
I think it was just like an instinct, like you said, that animal primal instinct.
He's just been fixed stabbed it.
Right in the brain, so his body just did what it last remembered or
but
something.
But he's been blinded.
He was almost like a zombie, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's been blinded. Yeah, it kind of changed the tone of the movie slightly, because it was like very much, because if you take away the eyes, it's very much makes a human being very soulless, and that's why it becomes that sort of zombie-esque type creature. And it was just going, ugh. But he just then goes and performs a lot of attack violence on the woman and stabs her in the stomach a couple of times. And it just fucking takes her out and just really attacking her. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? Oh, God. And she's getting stabbed in the stomach. And I'm starting to think, I don't, this movie's fucking full on. I'm swearing lots in my chair. You know?
Well, Sarah's then saved by the baddie, isn't she, then?
The baddie comes over with a spear and kills the guy who's attacking her, the policeman. It's a really weird thing, because then she kind of helps her. Sarah falls on the stairs and says, the baby, I'm going to give birth now. And the other woman standing there saying, I'm here, I'm helping you. She's all fucked up because her whole face is all burnt. Blood starts pouring out of between Sarah's legs. The burnt woman, the woman, gets the scissors and just, this is a bit, my hands go over my eyes. I'm just I can't fucking take this. I can't fucking watch it.
She cuts into her stomach like it's just a piece of cloth.
I do want to quickly say, my wife is pregnant, which I've mentioned, but I didn't mention the fact that we're going to be having a home birth. I've got a birthing pool in the living room, in the same room that I'm watching this woman on the screen, and this happened. And I was like, oh my God, in about a week's time, I'm going to see it naturally happen. But this movie is not fucking preparing me for that. At least it's not going to be like that. Fucking hell. Oh my God.
So those scissors come in handy again for the C-section.
Oh, God. From the belly button, isn't it?
She puts her hands in the stomach and pulls out the baby.
Oh my God.
And like you say, there's that shot where you just see some stairs up close, and there's just literally a waterfall of blood pouring down the stairs.
Oh God. Fucking hell. I'm struggling. My notes say, I can't watch it, ...! Pouring blood, ducking hell, because I couldn't, my pretext changed me from saying fucking hell. Then I've got a face like De Niro. That's my notes.
So you're pulling that,
okay, face. Yeah. I can't watch it, pouring blood, ducking hell, I've got a face like De Niro.
And that's the end, really, isn't it?
Yep, that's the end.
We're left with Sarah dead on the stairs with her guts all hanging out.
My note then says, this film is fucked up.
I love it. the baddie wins. My last note says the baddie wins.
The baddie wins. The baddie's sitting there with this really iconic scene, like almost like a witch. It could almost be a front cover of an 80s horror movie. It's a burnt woman rocking away in a horse with red light on her, and the camera pans away and she's holding the baby, and it's like, wow, fucking hell, what have you just done to me? I thought I was going to fall asleep because I was very tired and I needed to watch it for us to record today, and no, but I did fall asleep in the making of, which is unfortunate.
So what do you think overall, Gav?
It was very, very, very full-on, intense roller coaster. But I enjoy the movie to the point where if I had this in the hoard in my DVD collection already, I do with Inside, I would have probably said, I probably won't watch the hoard again and put it out to get rid of. But put Inside, which I will do, back into my movie collection.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really good film. It did what horror movies are supposed to do, and it made me scared. It made me cringe like hell. Like you say, there was that last, the cesarean scene at the end, that was so hard to watch with the scissors. Oh, Jesus.
You know what? I wouldn't mind trying to find a score for this. If I can get hold of a score, maybe not this episode, but I'll play a little bit of some of it on another episode.
I thought the acting was absolutely brilliant as well. The two main girls were so good.
Very minimal cast. Everything was good in this. The production value throughout the whole of the film on every level is good. The directing is very fine. Writing, acting, editing. Editing is fine. Score, very good. Everything. Prosthetics, all the blood in it. really good. I really highly rate this movie and recommend it to any horror fan, of hardcore horror fans to softcore horror fans, if there is such a type. I recommend this movie, but
I'd
probably
say this
not
is
if
one
you're
of the best. Well, one if of the best of the French ones that came out during this time.
If you're pregnant, don't watch this.
Jesus, no, don't.
And if you're about to have a home birthing wife in about a week's time, probably don't watch this, like me. And if you have a fear of belly buttons, like Dan and myself, do not watch this movie.
No, don't watch it.
Beatrice Dale, I did catch this in the making of before I fell asleep. Beatrice Dale said that she's a hard woman, I think, in real life. She basically just says, I don't give a shit about scripts. I don't read them. She just says that. That's what she said. She goes, I don't give a shit. And basically, she did not read it, and she likes to follow the souls of the filmmakers, and if she believes that their souls are good enough to make a good movie, she'll do a movie with them. And that was how she decides who she's going to work with.
Fuck yeah.
And she said that they... She said, anyway, they gave me lots of money, they gave me presents, said I was beautiful, and also gave me photos of Colin Farrell naked.
Well, there's your inspiration right there, I guess, you know. Colin Farrell naked, some presents, and tell me I'm beautiful. That's all I need.
Bloody hell. I guarantee you Colin Farrell would as well. I bet he would.
Would what?
Betty Blue.
Oh, of course he would. He probably has.
Probably has, yeah.
He's been with most of them. Allegedly.
Allegedly. This movie's fucking intense. What do you think about it?
Yeah, really, really amazing. Like, there's the two things. We've watched The Horde and we've watched The Inside. Now, I've seen them both once before. Didn't appreciate The Horde as much this time. Liked Inside even more than the first time I saw it this time. Really appreciated it. Loved it, loved everything about it. Really highly rate this. It's a really, really good horror movie. Like I say, it's one of the best French ones that came out during that time. My favourite is probably this and Haute Tension. I love these, that and the other, and this one. I think this one's actually probably, at the moment, slightly higher in my estimations than that one.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
Inside, brilliant.
It's a very good movie, so yeah, I highly recommend this movie.
Can't praise it enough.
No, so...
Massive French thumbs up.
Yeah, a massive French thumbs up. There's that joke, isn't there? What's got two thumbs and speaks French and likes blowjobs?
Moi. Is that it?
Yeah, and you put your thumbs up and say moi.
Yeah, moi.
That's a terrible joke. Okay, cool. Right, we'll be back very soon.
Hi, welcome back to World of the Strange.
Okay, so now it's time for World of the Strange. Gav, you sent me this, didn't you? Little video clip. Where did you come across this?
Don't know. I think Facebook's, I think someone was just sharing it. So it just seemed like quite a good thing to watch. When should we watch it? Straight now? You got it lined up?
We can just talk about it. I remember what happened.
Well, I'll watch it while we talk about it.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, what you're seeing is a video footage of four CCTV cameras, and there's reports of screaming coming from a room. And they've sent a security guard or whatever to go and have a look at the room. And
no one's supposed to be in that room, are they?
Yeah, no one's in the room. Let me turn it down a bit. No one's in the room. And a scream's coming from it. My connection's been shit. Anyway, yeah, so instead of just watching it, sorry. And he goes to look at it, and CCTV footage kind of follows him from different angles. It's just watching him, and he knocks on the door, this guy does.
You can hear the screams as well, can't you?
Yeah, the screaming's going on.
But we're sure that no one checked into that room, correct?
And you can hear the commentary over the top. Well, not commentary, but the people are speaking on over the walkie-talkies, just saying, we're pretty sure no one's checked into that room.
Just
So the other guard's saying you need to wait for the police, but he decides to go and have a look anyway. So he pulls his flashlight out, opens up the door. What does he just not turn the light on? Just seems a silly thing to do, don't you think?
Yeah.
And as he does that, a light comes out of the room and vanishes, kind of just like a little light, but it's a blatantly a light floats along. Now, do you think...
Well, then he comes out of the room, doesn't he?
He's come out of the room.
All the furniture is overturned, the shower is running.
Yeah.
Okay.
The carpet's been ripped up.
That's weird.
But no one's in there.
I'm officially freaked out now.
He's officially freaked out. So that is... See, I've been learning to colour correct and colour grade stuff. And I realise I can make little lights, things like that. And I can do that and move them around the screen myself. Exactly the same as that. Right, that's enough of that.
To be honest with you, I didn't notice and I use quotation marks when I say this, I didn't notice the ghost the first time. It was only at the end when they show you in slow motion it.
I did. I thought it was very obvious, but then again, it's possibly because, like I say, I've been learning to colour grade, so things which stick out makes my... straight away, at the moment, I'm very conscious of it, so I notice it straight away. But what do you reckon? Real? Fake?
Well, I think the spookiest thing about it is that it's either a really elaborate prank... but I think the spookiest thing about it is the way it sets up. Oh my God, there's screams coming from the room. Let's go in. Go in. There's no one in the room. The carpet's been ripped up. The furniture's everywhere. And the shower's running.
Yeah.
That's creepy enough. The fact that there was a weird light coming out of the room, which, whether it's there or not, whether somebody's added it afterwards, I don't know. That's just by the by for me. It was the rest of it that was the spooky bit for me.
Yeah, it was a bit spooky, but it's not as scary as Elisa Lam's. Do you know that's being made into a movie now?
Yeah, well, it's been off and on, hasn't it? Originally it was, then it wasn't, and now it is again. So I'm waiting to see what they do with that.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
Because that was episode one we talked about that, and that's a good one. But this one, I don't know,
I don't know whether this is real or not, because it looks, the way it's all done on CCTV, and it's very, the dialogue is almost too good to be real, you know? I'm a bit sceptical. I'm not normally
sceptical,
but on this one I am a little bit, Gav.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, I'd like to think there was a ghost flipping over chairs and ripping the carpet up, but probably just an idiot in a hotel room.
An idiot in a hotel room? Yeah.
There we go.
This isn't as creepy as our Easter one. What was the one we talked about last time?
Was it Easter? No, it wasn't. We talked about the skin book.
Oh, the skin book, yeah.
Yeah.
that's definitely a world of strange, that one.
This one's strange.
This is, I suppose it's strange. I don't know. It's kind of a bit...
It'd be interesting to look more into the story if any more has come out about it in a few weeks' time. Because it's been out there for a couple of weeks now.
It's two sides of it. Nowadays, there's so much access to CCTV footage and people have cameras all the time. You can film stuff on your phones. There's a lot more chance of catching Bigfoot, the supernatural, ghosts, blah blah blah, but at the same time, it's anyone with an app could probably put like some shitty effect on it to make it look like something was there.
Yeah, I mean, if you can download an app on your phone to turn you into an old man or a big fat man, then you can do this.
So that's the problem with it, and it just makes some of these things seem a bit so I don't know. I'm going with fake.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with perhaps the bit up until the ghost might have been real and somebody might have just added that in. It might have been like a prank and then somebody's added to the prank by throwing like an effect of a ghost on it.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll put the video up on the Facebook page.
When we drop this episode, we'll put the video up as well and you guys can check it out. It's, what is it, 2.5-3 minutes long?
2.5. Let us know what you think. Give us some feedback. Just even if you just say one word, real or fake, and then...
Yeah, that'd be really good, actually.
Yeah, just one word. But just interesting to see what you think. I'm going fake.
Yeah, I'll go fake then. Yeah.
That's all the time we've got for this week on World of Strange. Next week, though... Gimme Ira. Hairless pets. Weird.
And for no reason at all, this music section this week is the end theme from Predator. Welcome back, and that is the end.
Yes, that was episode 11. It's pretty good, wasn't it?
This is the end. Yeah.
The end, again, isn't it? We're back. We're back soon for episode 12.
Yeah. Well, yes. We've. This is just our little outro to episodes 11. Episode 12. We are going to do the Blair Witch Project. I haven't seen it for a long time, and it didn't. It kicked off found footage movies for what we are still on the. Riding that now, we still are. But it wasn't the original. We will discuss original found footage movies along with it, because we're going to talk that genre.
Yeah.
And just to have a chat about it and mention some of the movies we're both kind of into, and for people to check out and stuff.
There's a lot of them out there, and some good, some bad. And yeah, I do think Blair Witch, I agree with you, that invented the genre, basically.
Yeah, I'm very much into watching Blair Witch again. I saw it actually in San Francisco in a cinema. Not a very big cinema, but it was quite nice to watch it in America.
Yeah, I saw it in the cinema.
Yeah.
Weirdly, a guy that I was working with at the time had been travelling, and he's not really into films, and he came with me to watch it, and he didn't know anything about it. So we went into it, and I didn't know a lot about it. I just knew it was a horror movie and the actors were supposed to be dead, but I kind of realized halfway through that this wasn't real. But he went into it thinking this was a real documentary.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was really funny watching it with him. He came out of it and he was like, was that real then?
Well, no. We'll talk about it because it is one of the first online sort of marketing tools of the early internet marketing strategies and schemes. We'll discuss that though. What you got anything planned this weekend? You're watching the football tonight, yeah? What do you think? England's going to win? I'm going with an England win.
Yeah, I think England are going to beat Uruguay. I don't think they're going to beat Costa Rica next week, but who knows? England can surprise you. I say it's not like I know what I'm talking about. I don't really know a lot about football, but I know enough about England to know.
We'll see. So I'm going to watch that later. Have a few beers.
Well, I think by the time we're recording episode 12, Gav, you will have an addition to the family as well by then.
Possibly. I'm hoping so. Yeah. It's not too long. Yeah, I might have a baby here. So I wouldn't really think so. I've already got two children anyway, but there might be a chance I might not be able to Skype. But then again, I might be able to, because when you have a baby, it's the most easiest thing in the world because they just sit there. They don't even sit there, they lay there. They want to shit and they want to eat. There's nothing else going on, really. They want to be a bit entertained a little bit, but, you know, they've just discovered the world. I think that's enough for them. Like, whoa, what the fuck is this place? You know,
that sounds like me on a weekend, really. I want to shit, I want to eat, I want a bit of entertainment.
And you're waking up going, what the fuck is this place? Where am I?
Well, what am I doing here? How did I get here?
So you're saying most weekends for you is like a rebirthing?
Yeah. That's why I look so eternally.
Would you say you're like Jesus or something?
No.
No? Would you say,
I've got a beard of Jesus.
Cool. All right. Well, I was just gonna say I did actually accept to direct a short film in October with a character called Sexton Lovecraft. I mentioned last time. I said I'm gonna do it. It's kind of a Doctor Who, but a cult supernatural Doctor Who sort of thing, and kind of campy, a little bit like Bloodbath and House of Death and Kenny Everett.
Oh, that'd be great.
So we've just been discussing casting at the moment. So I'm just going into doing that, which is quite funny.
You've just dropped the trailer, haven't you?
Shadow of Death. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I like the way you've used all the different little bits of score throughout it as well.
Yeah, you have to.
Get a little taste of everything.
I put it off for 2 years because I made the movie ages ago. I put it off because I didn't want to cut a trailer. Robert Rodriguez, when he did El Mariachi, he cut a trailer before the movie's pretty much finished, just because he wanted to see kind of how it looked like and he's showing people. And I couldn't do that. I just left it because there's so many trailers out there. It's almost like an art form to make a trailer. And I struggled, so I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to bother cutting a trailer. So I didn't bother. But I have now, with that little note on the end saying that we're going to sell copies of a DVD this year. So next up now is just making a documentary. I've also been found all my old skateboard videos, like camcorder tapes, like the raw camcorder tapes. Now I've put them all onto my computer. I had to burn them to DVD, then put them onto a computer like that. And I've started making a new skate video out of old footage of all my skate buddies, which is really cool, because it's from around like 17, 18. And there's some pretty good footage in there and it's never been seen before. So I'm making my new skills I've learned to edit as making something for something which is really old video, which is kind of cool.
I love watching our skate video, old skate videos.
Yeah, I'm going to have like classic stuff. I'm probably going to skate to Dr. Dre, Roll with Dre. No, not Fuck with Dre.
Let me ride.
I'm probably going to place that. I'm probably just going to do like 90s hip hop for it and stuff. So it's real like the music set for that, you know, time.
Have you seen they're making an NWA film?
Yeah. Ice Cube's son is going to be in it.
Yeah, he looks a lot like him, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, I really can't wait for that. I'm quite into LA hip-hop, like, from that era.
Ice Cube said it's going to be the story of them becoming NWA and then it's going to finish with Eazy-E dying.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, it should be quite a good film, because that's a pretty interesting story, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets more interesting after that, though. It continues to be more interesting.
with Suge Knight and all that business.
Yeah, well, Suge Knight had already come onto the scene anyway by that point. He'd gone around Eazy-E's house with a load of into the studio with a load of guys with baseball bats and shit, and said, like, you know, sign these papers to release Dr. Dre, so he can, so we can start this up. So that's what happened. But yeah, it'd be pretty interesting. I'm very much into that hip hop scene then and stuff. It's very cliched when you say to someone who's not into hip hop, and you say to them like, hip hop. They're straight away. They say rap. They wouldn't say the word hip hop. Even though I don't mind the word rap. It's old school. But they'd say rap, and they would think gangster rap. That's what they think hip hop is. So there's that point when people who didn't know hip hop and the genre just knew it as gangster rap, and it's all about the N word and shooting
guns,
people
and bitches,
and yeah, there was that, and that did become very mainstream with like Snoop Dogg and Tupac and stuff like that. But it was there's so much more bigger world of hip hop which people don't understand sometimes, which is a shame.
I'm going to see Jurassic 5 on Wednesday.
Sweet, that'd be good.
In Bristol, so that'll be amazing. Looking forward to that. Sorry, just thought I'd rub that one in. Anyone out there is a fan of Jurassic 5?
You rub it in all the time because you're always doing things and socialising. Well, that's because you're a man without children who lives in a lovely city of Bristol, and I live in a little town where nothing goes on. But it's cool. That's all right. I'm not bothered. You know, I'm generally too exhausted to go to gigs anyway. And even if it was at a gig, I'd be like, rather just wish I was at home.
It's too loud in here.
It's too like this. No, I'll go home, sit on my computer and make videos. So, but that's cool. Each to their own.
Do you think of this Oculus film that's coming out? Have you seen
Seeing that. Is that Hammer?
I think it's the next Hammer one, isn't it? I'm not sure. I'm trying to avoid it because I just want to watch it. But there's a lot of hype about it.
I've ignored anything. I've not looked at synopsises or even really studied the poster. But, The Conjuring, I was looking at it like that, I think, because it was kind of like this sort of spooky name. But it's names like The Conjuring or Oculus. It's just like certain names with a good poster that makes me go, yep, I'm going to watch it. I don't need to check it out. I'll just watch it. So
Sinister. That was the other one, wasn't it?
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. You know. Good. I'm a sucker for a good poster. I'm old school, man. When you used to go into the video shop and just look up and go, man, that looks good, and you'd just get it regardless, and it would end up being, you'd find posters which would not even have pictures of nothing which actually happens in the film, or even completely different people who aren't even in the film.
Have you seen some of the posters from foreign countries who like either hand-draw them, or they just like cut and paste pictures of other films that the actor's been in? From, they did it a lot in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, no.
You should check it out. It's hilarious, honestly. Absolutely hilarious. Some of them aren't even related to the film that it's about.
That's amazing.
It's so funny. Yeah.
Cool. Well, this has been episode 11. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm just waiting for a bee to come up and start stinging me. Or bee only stings
Gav,
once, doesn't it?
There's a tarantula in my room, Gav!
There's a fly, but that's about it.
Yeah, there's a fly in my room as well.
Maybe it's the same fly. Well,
I'm just going to go and get in my transmutational pod. I hope the fly doesn't get in it with me.
Right. Yeah, sorry. I'm not. I've just seen a little head come up from my loft hatch, and it's my daughter.
Oh.
Hello, Daisy. Say hello.
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Daisy.
Did you hear that? He said, hello, Dan. Did you hear that?
How are you doing, Daisy?
Are you all right, Daisy? Yeah. Right, anyway, I think that's
my... say goodbye with us, Daisy?
Daisy, you going to say goodbye? She says goodbye. I think that's our cue. Next time, we are going to be doing the found footage genre and looking at Blair Witch Project for episode 12.
That's it from me.
And that's definitely that it from him as well. It's a good night. Daisy. And it's a good night from me.
Good night from me.
And it's good night from Daisy. Say good night, Daisy.
Good night.
We'll see. There we go. Take it easy.
Thank you for listening to the podcast on Haunted Hill. We will be back again real soon.